one-page handout. Tonight, there's also simultaneously the annual Lakewood meeting at Howard's house. So we're under stiff competition. I was thinking about canceling it, but I'm afraid if we break the momentum, we might lose the item. So let's keep on going. Okay, this is the last piece, Be'ez Hashem, of this series. The series started with Mechusar, this one sheet there. Started with Mechusar Mana about the different bases of the Erlichkeit of keeping one's word and not disappointing another person and remaining in Ish Emes themselves, and sometimes even on a higher level, even of a Machshava, that which a person made his own mental decision, even if he didn't speak out to someone else. And we learned also that there's a concept of a garmi, especially in regard to work or hiring or employees as well as sales, in terms of a commitment that the person relies upon and then afterwards doesn't have the opportunity to have the same thing that they otherwise would have had, that could be not only usher but even chayiv in that kind of a case. I want to give you tonight, Be'ez Hashem, a number of cases that are classic precedents for many other cases, and see where we're going to go with them. Case number one. I have a friend, he used to be my friend, who's an insurance agent. And I bought my new house. I told him that I wanted to be able to have the fire insurance. So, of course, he told me different plans and products, different companies, and we chose what Taylor made for me and my family, and quoted a price, and we worked that out. I gave him payment, and I signed all the dotted lines, and I gave him everything he needed, everything he asked for. Okay, don't worry, we'll take care of it. And he went back to his office and put it on the pile that's on his desk, and Shom Tehegen Izasso, that's where it stood and sat. A couple years later, Leilena, we had a big fire in the house burnt down. I called my agent to say, you know, we had a terrible tragedy last night, Baruch Hashem, everyone's okay, but the house is cinder. Not cinder blocks, but reduced to cinder. And we're going to have to rebuild this up. You know, could you please look up what our benefits are? And he calls me back aghast and he says, I forgot to file it. The company never heard of you, never issued a policy number, and it's too late after the fire to file it now. Total wipeout. Now, I relied on him. He gave me his word. And he made a mistake. He fell asleep. You know, he had 100 other things to do on that day. I got lost in the pile. And he never made that filing for me.
Did Rabbi Shlomo pay the premium?
I gave him my credit card number. I told him, charge whatever you want, whatever I have to do. We made up the price, of course. I left it in his hands to do. Or if you wish, I gave him a check to cover the next year's premiums, and he just never deposited, whatever. He never followed through. So whatever way, he fumbled the ball.
Was it a couple years later, or was it like the first year?
Okay, it was in the first year. You can adapt the story as you have. Baruch Hashem, it didn't happen. But the story has happened. And the story is a story that's talked about in Shuvos. So if the agent didn't file the fire insurance application and therefore the company is not going to honor it, and now the homeowner has the loss, it's more than simply saying, well, I'm sorry, I really should keep my word better. There's one sheet of a handout we'll get to soon, but right now we're talking about interesting cases. And I'm sorry over here for Mechusar Amana kind of levels, ain't going to do it. I'm totally wiped out right here, so I need to have more than that. So we have to decide what halakhic basis there is to deal with a person that didn't keep his word, let me down, didn't file the papers, and therefore I have no fire insurance after the fire, I have nothing to collect. Now, he didn't cause this fire, of course, you understand, and therefore the hezek is not from him. What I don't have is this policy that would otherwise reimburse me for my loss, build me a new house, put me up a rent for a year while they're building it, give me all the other things that goes along with the package. That is where I thought I would be able to get that gain, and now I don't have that gain. Scenario number two is that I have my good friend, at least he used to be my good friend, he still is, I love him. He's my friend, his last name is CPA. he's a good accountant, and he's really been trustworthy. For years and years, he's been doing my taxes. And this year, I sat down with him before Pesach. Pesach was early this year. And beginning of March, I sat down with him. We went through all the papers, gave him all my W-2s, 1099s, whatever it has to be. And we figured all out, and he did electronic, all the rest of that fancy stuff. Left me whizzing behind. I couldn't figure out one thing he was doing. And, okay, he told me the bottom line, I'm going to get a nice big refund. I'm so happy about that. Thank you very much. And I thanked him. I even paid him for his services. Well, comes after Pesach, instead of getting a refund, I get a penalty for not having filed. And I call him up and say, hey, my friend, CPA, what's going on over here? He says, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. How did I do that to you? And forgot to file. Same story again. But this time I got myself some penalties. And I say, listen, mister, you know, whose fault is this, me or yours? You decide. I'm not going to be the diner over here. You decide yourself. So, of course, shamefacedly, he says, I'm very sorry. And I say, that's not going to cut it. And our third case for tonight, I give you two more cases. One more case. See, I have this other friend that I really don't like him too much. He's called my lawyer. And he represents me when I get in a lot of trouble. And this time I was right. This time I had the winning deal and I could have really collected. And he missed his deadlines and he didn't file the papers appropriately. All the dotted lines he didn't cross. And he was summarily dismissed from the case. And I lost my whole claim, which I really had a good case where I really was supposed to have it. So again, he let me down. He didn't do what he's supposed to do. And I'm going to scream at him, legal practice, malpractice. And he's going to say, yeah, but you're from, you're going to go to Bezin, right? What's Bezin going to say? So I'll say, well, I have some inside information on that. So that's what I'm here tonight. I'm going to share that information with you. Okay, my fourth case I'm going to share with you just to be able to have by basis of comparison. These cases are not identical, similar as they might sound. Is I have another friend of mine. He's my stockbroker. He handles my millions for me. Well, Borsha. And I saw what was happening 2 weeks ago beforehand because I'm really savvy. And I told him, the place is going downhill quick. Sell, 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 sell. Thursday afternoon, I told him, by Friday morning, you got to sell. And he was so busy with everything else going so frantic, everything was going down south. And he forgot to sell my stocks, and I lost big. Well, I got a good tip the other time. I called him and said, buy, buy, buy. He has my account open. He could do it like that in 10 seconds. And he slipped, and he didn't buy. And because of that, I could have had a killing, and I was left still handing this old bag that I used to have. Only $10 million. That's all I have left. So, all these cases, someone gave me the word, told me they're going to take care of it. They're going to make this filing for the taxes or the legals or the fire insurance. It could be health insurance, car insurance. You can make the story any way you want. It's all the same. Or my stockbroker. And all these people fumbled and didn't carry through. And they all owe me a big apology for not keeping their word and disappointing me, that's for sure. But I want more than that. I want hard cash. I want payment. And I want to know right now, al pi halacha, how much of a case do I have? I don't want to steal anything. I don't want to take something I'm not entitled to. So what's the din? So that's what we're here for right now, tonight, to find out. Bezu Hashem. None of these stories, by the way, are first made up tonight. These are all part of history of Klal Yisrael and of human affairs. People do make mistakes, and then we have to know the halacha to how to deal with in these kind of a case.
Which category are we in from your main list that you gave us the first time?
It depends where we go with this, and then you'll fit it in, okay? We have to find out where this is. And very often in Chayshim Mishpat, see, in Orach Chaim, in Yerodea, if someone comes and asks a question about the milk of a spoon and the flesh of a soup, so you know it's Hilchos Bas Bechalav. I don't have to start looking through Hilchos 9 days, right? Or the Lachas of any other section of Lach. I know exactly what it is. Hilchos Shabbos is Hilchos Shabbos, and Hilchos Neder, Hilchos Avelis, or Hilchos Brachis. Each one is clearly defined. Chosh and Mishav, a case like this, we start scratching our head and say, is this Mazik, or is this Shemir, or is this Shliach, or is this Karmi, or is this, 17 different things I could now cross my mind and say, where is this going to fit into? And that's going to be the whole discussion. Halakhically, is it based on this or is it based on that? And of course, all different guidelines are going to be affected by that. That's why Chosh and Mishpat is so fascinating and challenging, because it's as wide as the sea, and you never know where you're navigating, whether you're in the north or the south of it. You have to figure it out. That's the challenge. So here we have a case, real cases, down-to-earth kind of cases. You can really see them happening, or things that are very similar to them easily. And where do we go from here? I don't know whether which set of laws I go. So here I'm going to give a little tour. I gave you one sheet over here. This is just a quick, short, and easy kind of way of going through the sugya. Once upon a time, a long time ago, far, far away in the land of Babel. Nope, in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Reish Lakish was handling with some coins. Coins in those days weren't as standardized as they are now. And sometimes you could get a bum coin that was not only a counterfeit or was rubbed down, it didn't have as much silver or gold as it represented on its face. It might have been tampered with and mixed with some kind of alloy and representing as though it would be sterling or pure gold, and really it's mostly nickel or something else. So when you handle with coins and trade, you need to give it to someone that's really a maven and tell me, is this the real thing? They put it between their teeth or whatever they do with it. They look at it, they lick it, and they say, yep, this is, or no, that's not. So Reish Lakish achvi le dinra le Rav Lazar. Gemara Bava Kama Daf Kuf. Reish Lakish had such a coin, and he was going to buy or sell, and he showed it to his peer, Rav Lazar, Bol Tamina of Rav Yechanan, and tell me your opinion. What is this? Should I buy it? Should I sell it? Should I pay for it? Amar Ma'aliyahu, Rav Lazar, who seems to have been more expert in this field, said, yep, it's a good one, genuine, worth what it says. Amar Lei, so Reish Lakish doesn't just say thank you. He says, Chazi, I want you to see now, Da'aloch kasamichta, that I'm going to rely upon you. You're telling me like that? I don't have to go shop around for five other opinions. You tell me to be a little closer, I rely on you 1,000%. That's not a compliment. That's a liability. That's saying, I'm right now going ahead, and on your say-so, I'm going to go now buy that and pay money for it, or I'm going to sell that at the price of whatever it is that you're telling me. Well, I guess I'm going to buy it over here. So Amr Leis, Rav Lazar says, you know, chapter of exactly what the Reish Lakish meant. Kisom b'chasalai mai lememra. What are you trying to tell me that you're saying that you're relying upon me? You're trying to tell me. Di mishtaka bisha, in a case it'll come out at the end to be a bad coin, bina lechluvilach, you're going to expect me to now exchange it and replace it for you. Ay, atu to Amr, didn't you, Reish Lakish, yourself say, the remeir hu dedo and dina garmi. We spoke last week about dina garmi. We haven't really gotten into explaining what difference between Grom and Garmi is, but Garmi is a level of cause damages that one is chayab for, at least according to some Tanoim, which is Remeir. And Remeir is the one that holds the Doyen, he judged Dina Garmi. And from the fact that you identify, oh, that's Remeir that goes like that, my love, don't you mean to say the Remeir will lose for your luck of us, eh? You don't hold like that. It's, oh, that's only Remeir, that's a Das Yachad, it's one opinion. But it's not the accepted halacha. And therefore, I wouldn't be chayab anyway. Armulay, so Reish Lakish says, let me tell you what I mean. Lo, Remeir v'sfir langavase. I'm saying it's Remeir, and that carries the halacha. Halacha is like Remeir, and therefore you be chayv. So from here we see that whenever I ask an expert opinion about the value of a coin, the value of a used car, the value of furniture, the value of diamonds, the value of whatever might need to have evaluation, home appraisal, and I say that I'm going to rely upon you, then I am able to hold you to that. And if it comes out afterwards that there was a definitive error, it's not just a matter of a judgment this way or that way, but it's really nickel instead of silver. Something was really wrong, or the home inspector missed something, you know, structural and significant, and told me that this house is worth the market price, and really it's about to collapse. So then the person could be held liable to it. There's Machlokes Rishonim on this. Tos over there brings down two opinions, himself and the Rif, about whether this only when I speak out, Chazid Allah Kasamichta, I'm relying upon you, that's saying, are you ready to stand behind this? Are you ready to take liability? Do you guarantee what you're saying? Do you give me your assurance on it? Or even a stam, it's automatically understood. Two opinions over there. The next quote, the next citation over here on the page is a Shulchan Aruch and Chayshu Bishpat, Siman Shin Vav. Hamar Dina L'Shulchani, when you show a coin, this is the example, but any other kind of appraisal would be the same. To a Shulchani, to a money changer who's the expert over here. This Amar Lo Yafuhu, Vadim Sarah, he said it was good and really it wasn't. In Beskara, Ayo, I'm not going to get right now into the differences between whether he's doing it for free or for favor. Chaya b'sham av b'yishu baki v'enu tzarek l'islamik. V'im b'china royos pater. Huzhiya baki v'enu tzarek l'islamik. V'im enu baki, chaya b'sham av b'yishu b'china. If he's not an expert, he has no business giving an opinion on that, then he's always going to be chayav. V'huzhiya yom v'shulchani, providing that you spoke and it says, alecha ani saimech, I'm relying upon you. Or if it's self-evident that I'm relying upon you, I'm not going around to shop opinions and show it to other people as well. The Shulchan Aruch is paskering, like the opinion of the Rif, that it's only if you spoke out like Rish Lakish did. I'm relying upon you. I want you to know that I'm expecting you to stand behind what you're saying. But the Shulchan Aruch is expanding it and saying, not only if I spoke it out, but also if it's evident that I'm relying upon you. So my fire insurance agent over here, I didn't tell him, you know, I'm counting on you doing it. If you don't do it, I'm going to expect you to pay for my whole house that's going to burn down if it ever does. I didn't speak it all out. But that's what it means. You're my agent. I'm not supposed to file with the company. I don't even know who the company is. You work for the company. You have the connections. Or you're my tax agent. And you're supposed to file it with the IRS. If I said so, alecha chasamichda, then even without payment. So without, we don't have to get into that right now. With payment, there's more responsibility. But even if we'll be just doing it as a friend, but if I told you I'm relying upon you, that means I'm expecting you to stand behind it, and you didn't say, no, you do it on your own. I'm just giving you my idea, but you're welcome to shop around for other. So that would be backing off and saying I'm not taking liability. But if there was no such conversation, so then there wouldn't be liability unless. If it was hoyu hadvara maram shu slemach al riyaso, if it's self-evident that I'm relying upon you, like these cases that my stockbroker or my tax preparer or my fire insurance agent or my, what's the other case? My attorney that was supposed to make all these filings. Well, you're I'm not going to be shopping around. Other people do it. I'm relying upon you to do it. When it's self-evident, then the person's always going to be chayv. V'yesh om the Rama in the parentheses over there says, even if it's dama, also going to be chayv. So both Mechaber and the Ramah paskin, that's only if you spoke it out. But the Mechaber is adding very significantly that even if you didn't actually speak it out, but it's very obvious and evident that I'm relying upon you solely, then you'll be chayv.
Well, all those cases is only if he's a bucky.
Even if he's not a bucky, all the more so. Even if he's a bucky. If he's not a bucky, it's more responsibility because he has no business saying. If you don't know what you're doing, then stay out of the kitchen. If you don't give opinions and pose yourself as not knowledgeable, if you're not, say, I don't know. If you say that you do know and pose yourself, if you're not, then that's all right away the liability. But that's a complication I'd rather not get into. The point I'm bringing out over here is that we have over here from this sugya in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch a basis to say that when it's self-evident that I'm relying upon you to take care of something and you don't and I have a loss because of it, then you're going to be responsible for that.
In all the cases, you also paid them. You're also paying for services.
That's true, too. But even if it wouldn't be so, even if it would be Bechinam, that would be so as well. I don't know if Rish Lakish paid Reb Lazar for services. We have no record of that. There are both Chaveram, both Tamidim, and Rabir. It could well not be. So let's say I have a friend that does some of this stuff for me for free. Once I say Alech L'Kos HaMichna, or it's self-evident that I'm relying upon you, The insurance agent, for instance, Pashtas, I don't pay him. He gets his premium. He gets his commission from the company for selling it to me. He doesn't ask me a fee.
But because you know that, that's why you're relying.
Right. But that's being hired by the company. It's not really being hired by me. So I'm not really paying him. I consider him to be an expert in that field. I rely upon him that he's knowledgeable, which I don't know too much about insurance products, but I rely on him. He knows what he's talking about.
But it says here, in Bechinam Ra'ahu Patur.
Right, unless I said, right, Alecha Nislamich, or it was Dvar Mar. So, all these kind of cases we're saying right now, we now have a basis to Mechayev. Another case that's similar to over here on the next citation is a case that I tell a person that if we travel somewhere and I'm going to meet you over there, then we'll be able to take care of whatever business it might be. So, okay, where do you want me to meet you? I don't know. Well, let's meet together in City X in Cleveland. So you say, okay, when? Next Sunday afternoon. No problem. So you book yourself a flight, you get yourself over there, you get a rental car, you come over there, no one's there. Call me up, oh, I'm sorry, my wife needed me at home. And I just bought all this expense besides the tircha. So the Ramah says over there, Mishon lechaveiro sheyel chaladayin b'mokom acher. He's talking over there in context of handling a litigation in Bezdin, the same thing for business also. You go to New York, make an appointment, I'll meet you over there. And whatever expenses are involved with that. I didn't come to meet you. The one that didn't go has to reimburse the travel expenses of the one that did go. Call Yitzhak a Mordechai. And the same thing has many other applications as well. The note of Yehuda has a tshuva about a divorcing couple that said to his about-to-be ex-wife that, you know, if we meet in Cleveland, I'll give you the get over there. So she drove to Cleveland, and ha-ha, I wasn't there. So he says you have to pay her for expenses. The Chavos Yair has a case about a chassan that was made up to get married, the opposite end, and it was a no-show. The father-in-law prepared a ganza chassana. He had everything ready to go. Chassan doesn't come. I'll be there next month. I was busy with something else. I didn't finish my pshatel. So he was mafsa the ganza suda. So the chavazir paskins, the same Ramah, that he has to pay for the whole suda. So these are all cases in which I gave you a word upon which you spent money or you made a loss, then I have to reimburse you for that. And pashas, all these cases are based on the concept of a dina de garmi. Now, here's the critical, crucial point that we have to come to understand. The cases that I told you beforehand are not all similar, and here's where they divide. In halacha, there is a fine difference between a loss that's incurred in terms of actual principal loss and a loss of income of a menias areva of withholding a person from making a profit. If I lock up your store for a day, put my own padlocks on it, that takes you a full day to be able to get locksmith to open up your store, and you lose a whole day's work, right? And because of that, you didn't do all the business you wanted to do today and have all the customers come and make whatever business you make from that. I owe you that much. Tarumas, you have a complaint with me, certainly a richness of what I did, but actual damages, nothing's broken over here. I'll take the lock off at the end of the day, or you can take it off yourself when you get the locksmith in there. If the locksmith expense that he charges you $50 to come, that was an out-of-pocket loss, an expense, I'll have to reimburse you that. But other than that, the fact that you're closed all day and you lost hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars, whatever your business is, it's called mevatel kisa shel chaveiro. That's just non-work. If I put a lock on your car and you weren't able to drive to go to business or to go wherever you had to go, that's mevatel kisa shel chaveiro, making that you weren't able to do business. That's just menias harevach. I didn't cause you actually damage. I didn't break down your store. I just made you not be able to do business and profit. So that's menias harevach. It's rishus, but it's not collectible. As opposed to if I made a cause of a damage of actual incurred loss, then I'd be liable for that under many circumstances. The case of the CPA that didn't file, and because of that I got a penalty, that's money out of my pocket that I'm going to have to pay, whatever the penalty amount is. The attorney that didn't file timely, or the correct filings, and because of that my case was dismissed, is a case that I had rights to something, and that case was just evaporated. I lost money. That was really my money. That's not a profit I'm trying to make. Let's say I had receivables. That's money that belongs to me. Someone owed me $10,000. I went to court. There was black and white. There's no contest. But because he mixed whatever kind of scheduling the judge had made, and he was in 10 days late for everything, or whatever he messed up in the rules, it was dismissed, and I can't ever collect about $10,000. That's money of mine that I lost. It wasn't a profit I was trying to make. That was a loss that I incurred. As opposed to, listen to this carefully, as opposed to the fire insurance case, there's no loss. This guy, his house is burnt down to the bottom. He has no loss because the loss was a fire that not I started and not my agent for that didn't file my policy started. None of us caused that damage. That damage was lightning hit it. Who knows whether an electrical box blew up. That was a min hashamayim. I have the loss, fine. What I want from him is not to put out fires. What I want from him is not to do the electrics over here. What I want to him is get me someone to give me a chunk of money in under certain circumstances. That's to try to gain something. We look at it as trying to even me out to where I was beforehand. But if the loss has been a Shemayim, Nebuch, I had a Srefa, okay? Then a Shemayim Baruch Dynamis, that's a Makabal Din Shemayim. But now that I'm at a loss, please, could you, insurance company, could you please give me $200,000? I'd appreciate it. I want to be able to have a new house. So that's a gain that I want to gain. That's a Menias HaRebach. And he didn't do that to give me now this valuable payout. You can certainly understand, let's say, a life insurance policy. Right, it's only payable at a tragic moment in a person's life. But it's not a loss in terms of the money. It's a gain that I want to gain, whatever the face value of it is, $500,000, and leave it over for the family to squabble about afterwards. That's a revach I want to be able to get from insurance. Insurance is trying to get a gain under some certain circumstances. It's under circumstances which I'm otherwise I was suffering a loss because of a fire, because of an accident, because of a son of a family member. But in that circumstances, I want insurance company, give me a chunk of change. Give me some money. And if I didn't get that, that's a benias harevach. The Diri Malkiel, the Lamjarov from pre-war times, Charles Jewish Diri Malkiel, famous Paisik in Chayshim Mishpat, we use him a lot. Has a tshuva on this case of the fire insurance guy agent that never filed the policy and ended up having a sreifa, and now the child says he have to reimburse him. And his basic first premise is to say that everything we talked about so far is the category of menias harevach. I'm sorry, everything we talked about so far is in category of actual losses. Like, the person had to pay expenses to be able to go to meet the other person in Cleveland. That was out-of-pocket expenses that he had to travel. Or making a whole costume that the other one stood him up and didn't come for. Or the other case that we talked about are actual losses that are being incurred. For the case of the insurance, he says, that's benias harevach, and everything we said until now doesn't apply. However, let's still make our case. Let's see if we can still find a reason to hold him liable even by case of benias harevach.
I was just coming back though, and let's say the fire insurance salesman was also the real estate agent. And so like one deal, buy me the house to get it insured. And then he didn't do it. So then he took your cash and turned it into a loss.
You bought the house and you lived there for a day or a month or a year or 10 years.
The
purchase is a purchase, and you don't buy it from the agent. He just facilitates. I buy it from the seller.
I had cash, and you turned in based on what you did. You turned my cash into risky.
I bought a house. The house is mine. Now I also asked you take off X amount of that and get me an excellent fire insurance policy, and I failed to do so.
Well, you wouldn't have bought the house if you didn't have an insurance policy, so it's sort of like connected.
It's two deals. I asked the same person to do two different things. Could be supper, could be lunch. In Dina Malchusa, if he has liability, I don't know, I'll collect from his insurance.
That has insurance.
Malpractice insurance. Yeah. But we don't know when Apiyalach is he Mokhiv to do so. If Apiyalach is not Mokhiv to do so, it's not so much that you'll be able to, collect from him based on Dina Malchusa. We go between ourselves, we go according to Mishpatei Allah Atayra. And the Malchus has no problem if you people want to arbitrate according to Jewish law or according to Chinese law, whatever you want to arbitrate based on, that's fine with us. There's nothing illegal about having arbitration based on Torah law instead of common law. Excuse me. Now, here we have 10 minutes left. This is a huge concept. The concept was really one I want to share with you. It's important to know. There is a concept in the Torah of taking a responsibility for a person's potential profit, that I could be Arev for that too. It's called the concept of Arvus. Arvus, being an Arev, is like a cosigner, classically is in terms of a loss, which means lend this guy that's not so creditworthy, don't worry about it, I'll stand behind it. So in case you're going to take a loss because he defaults, I'll make it up. So that's the classic Arev we learn out from an Ochi, Aravenu, Miyodit, Vakshenu, that Yehuda tells Yaakov Avinu, Then in case Binyamin gets in trouble, I'll put my own life on the line, and he was ready to become a slave and send Binyamin back, right, to save from a loss. But hear this. There's a Gemara in Bavitsiya, Daf Ayin Gimel, on base in Ezer Neshech, that says, once upon a time, a long time ago, one fellow said to his friend, Reuven said to Shimon, that right now there's a tremendous sale going on at the port. Everything is coming in shiploads of wine. It's being sold out right now at incredible low prices. It's a tremendous amount of quantity. And you could buy up right now and then you bring it over here back home. You'll be able to sell it at three times the price, the regular price, make a good profit. Here's $1,000. Go over there, get me a truckload of those barrels that are right now being sold in Sul Shafat. In your sheet, gave money to his friend to buy for him chamra, some wine over there at the port where it's being sold cheap. In the meantime, went off and played golf, and he didn't go to the port at all. Mashalim lay, then the shliach that failed to perform and do his shlichus, Mashalim lay, he has to pay not the $1,000 that was given. The price I could have gotten if I bought it over there at that port at that time. If I could triple my price, then he's going to have to pay me back $3,000. Because I had easy profit in my hands. Go take this money, go over there, buy it, bring it back over here, and sell it. It's easy as pie. If you would tell me you're not going to do it, that's fine. You don't have to do it. I'll do it myself. I'll get someone else to do it for me. But don't let me rely on you that you're going to do it and then stand me up and not do it. And in the meantime, the opportunity, the window's closed, and I don't have that opportunity anymore. So there it says in the Gemara that you'll be even chayev to pay back not for loss of $1,000, but the lost profit, the profit that I could have made, he's going to be responsible to reimburse that as well. That's the chiddush of Zul Shafat, of that Gemara over there.
How is that different from Merevach that you explained?
That's Menigas HaRevach. So here we have a case in point. Here we have a source to say that a person that gives me to rely upon him and causes me not a loss in terms of actual principal loss, but even just a loss of easy profit to make, and he stops me from making that profit because of his negligence, that he's going to be responsible to pay back even the profit too. Even Benias Rebbe could be high for that too.
So why is that different from the insurance case?
That's very good. So now we have a halachic a basis to say it's going to chayv even by the insurance case. Everything we found until now would only say you're chayv for the tax penalties or the lawyer's dismissed case. Now we have a basis to say potentially that you're going to have to be chayv even for the fire insurance that he didn't buy. Well, not so simple. Not so simple. The shaila is what's pshat that gemara over there. There's two approaches in the rishonim. The easy way out, and the fundamental concept that you can learn from this. The easy way out is a citation, the next one on the sheet is from the Rush, where the Rush says, this was a case in which I had agreed, the shliach, that don't worry, I'll do it, and if don't, I'll pay you back everything. That was part of the agreement, the contract that they had made. But short of that, if there wasn't such an agreement, you wouldn't have an automatic liability to pay back a loss of profit. That's how the Rush approaches it. The Ritva over there is a very, very fundamental concept. Ritva is printed classically in the Sheet of Kofetzes, but in this last, couple decades, they have these new Ritvas out, and from the Ksav Yad, and there they have this from the Ritva himself, in the new Kedusha Ritva, the nice, pretty beige, bindings. The Ritva says, I'll speak it out outside for brevity of time, that there's a concept of Arvas. Arvas means being Arev, being a guarantor. Is not only to guarantee a loss, but also to be able to guarantee a situation of profit, which I'm taking responsibility. Because I want to make that profit. I'm in business to make profit. And I could do it very easily. If I could rely on you, then I'll rely on you. If you tell me not to, like I said before, I'll go another direction. I'll you min or small, I'll find someone else to do it. I'll do it myself. If I'm relying upon you, then I'm putting my business and my need to make profit from that legitimately, probably, legally, 100% properly, on the line, my reliance upon you, and therefore you have to take a liability for that too, as well. And the Ritva goes with this concept in many sugyas, like we learned last week about a payol that doesn't show up for work, and because of that, the Bala buys his stuff that he put in there to prepare now just goes le'ibud. So why am I responsible for that? So the Rebbe says, Arvus, same kind of concept. You're taking responsibility. Anytime that you tell someone else, I'll take care of it, don't worry, or it's a self-evident kind of situation that I have a right to rely on my CPA to file my taxes or my attorney to do whatever the courts require, that I can rely on them doing that, and they don't, then I put my situation, my financial situation, on the line by my reliance upon him. Whatever loss would be incurred because of that, he has to therefore make up for, including a loss of profit as well. That's the chiddush of the Ritva. If we have the Ritva, then we go beyond actual payment for loss for damages. Let's call that damages and loss of profit. Not only Garmi is going to be making mechayev for damages, but it's even going to have to compensate for loss of profit. Garmi would not make me have to compensate for loss of profit. Arvus could say, I'm taking responsibility for that too, since you're relying upon me for that and putting that on the line for on your reliance on me, then yes, I'll stand behind even that, and if I don't do it, I'm going to have to repay that as well. So that's not Garmi. So this Gemara, we don't have to come out of Garmi. That's his Kiddush. That's his Kiddush. His Kiddush of the Ritva is that we no longer have to come on to Garmi in this kind of a situation. When there's a reliance, when there's a clear reliance upon someone else doing something, then without coming on to Garmi, this is going to be a din of being Arif. I took responsibility. Yes. Why didn't he say that's a matter of Arvus? I think the difference is that Rabbi Elazar gave his opinion to Reish Lakish, and that Reish Lakish is the one that went and bought or sold those coins. He didn't tell Rabbi Elazar, okay, you take care of it. He gave him his opinion, and then you yourself, the original person, Reish Lakish, is going to do it. So then that's only going to be if it fits into the rules of Garmi. But when I'm saying you take care of it, you, my shliach, to go to get the wine at the port, or you, my lawyer, or my CPA, or my insurance, or my or agent, or stockbroker, all these cases that we're talking about, when I put my reliance upon you that you're going to take care of it and you didn't, so that you're the one that's now responsible for that, that's the din of Arvus. There's a major machlokes in the later Achrayim whether we go with this or not. It's a beautiful svara of the Ritva, and there's many sugyas that string along that fit into it. But, and therefore, as I wrote down on the very bottom of the page, the Nesivos and a number of places in Chayesh Mishpat, as well as the Chuvas Chasam Sefer, both accept this concept of the Ritva and go with it in many instances and apply it. But on the other hand, the Chuvas Divrei Malkil, which is where we started at by the story with the fire insurance agent, as well as the Chazon Ish, amongst others, say that it's a beautiful Svara, but all the other Rishonim don't learn like that. Let's say, by the case of Zul Shofet, the Rosh says because you made a contract. By the case of the Payalim, the Tosfos, the Rosh say over there because of Garmi. They don't say because of Arvus. Sugya after sugya, where the Ritva makes such a beautiful parish, all the other Rishonim don't go like that. In Shulchan Aruch, you don't find it, and therefore they say we do not go with the Ritva's concept. So therefore there will be a Machlekes HaRishonim, Machlekes HaPaiskim L'maisa, about whether the insurance fellow that didn't file the policy, whether they have to be reimbursed, according to those that go with the Ritva, the Sivat Chazam Sefer and such, you would be Chayiv, according to other Paiskim. They would say he would not be Chayiv. By the case of the legal malpractice or the CPA failure to file, those kind of cases would be Chayiv according to everyone. But in context of our original theme that we're developing, besides a question about whether it's actual collectible in Bezdin or not, but Erlich is certainly not Erlich. I have to be able to rely upon you when you told me, don't worry, I'll take care of it. An Erlich, a person, has to stand behind that and make sure that he does it. Maybe even so far that you have to pay for that loss, even at the cost of a whole house that got burned down, you'd have to pay for as well. So if you realize that that's what's riding on this, then you have to really take good care of it. Whether you're actually going ahead be chayv to pay, it's going to be a place of paiskim in Bezdin, we're not going to chayv you, because it's machlekes, sabik mamon l'kula. But stam was the ishma, a person should make at least some kind of a pshara, work out some kind of a compromise, give some kind of an offer to be able to settle it. We can't be machayev that, but certainly in terms of erlichkeit, the person has to be very, very, very careful when someone else's profit and certainly loss or damages is riding on his keeping his word. Next week is Tisha B'Av, which we say to have Gula B'Mir Meno. And after that, we will start a new unit, not about keeping your word, about maybe opening competition when competition is permissible or it's not, go on to new frontiers from that time.